Escuelas Oficiales de Idiomas de la Comunidad Autónoma de Canarias. Pruebas de certificación de nivel intermedio B2 de inglés. Convocatoria ordinaria de 2023 para la población escolar. Prueba de comprensión de textos orales. Esta prueba consta de 3 tareas. Escuchará cada grabación 2 veces. Escuche y lea las instrucciones al principio de cada tarea y realícela según se indica. Las respuestas escritas a lápiz o en tinta roja no se calificarán. No está permitido el uso del diccionario. El uso de cualquier dispositivo electrónico queda prohibido durante toda la prueba. El móvil tendrá que permanecer apagado y guardado. Atención, no escriba en los recuadros sombreados. Son espacios reservados para la calificación de las tareas.
Listen to a talk about the strangest traditions around the world. Match each country, 1 to 6, with the most appropriate sentence, A to J, according to what the speaker says. There are 3 sentences you do not need. Write your answers in the table provided. Item 0 is an example. You have 1 minute to read the task.
Spain has a lot of interesting traditions. One of the most chaotic ones is La Tomatina in Valencia, where people throw tomatoes at one another. Hiding a baby tooth under the pillow and waking up to find it replaced by money is tradition in many cultures, not so in Greece. Nowadays, Greek children throw their teeth onto the roof of the house, a far cheaper option. One of the creepiest traditions comes from South Korea, where red was often used to write somebody's name when they had died. So, it is felt that by writing a person's name in red, you are condemning them to their own fate. In the US, if a person begins to experience itchy palms, then they are likely to come into money. So if somebody feels their palms itching, then they will begin to gamble in an attempt to take advantage of this expected good fortune. Forcing 2 animals to fight each other is considered unacceptable in many places. Not so in Turkey, where camel wrestling is a huge spectator sport. These animals seem not to cause harm to each other. Even though humans don't get involved, there is a risk that a fighting camel may spray some of their saliva into the crowd. In India, some of the most venomous snakes are carried in a basket to a temple in rural areas, where they are sprinkled with red powder, milk and honey before they are released into the temple courtyard. Clearly, health and safety don't need strengthening in rural India. Finally, in Zenica, Bosnia, they mark the start of the season with a tribute to scrambled eggs. They start the day with a large breakfast of eggs cooked in a large pan in a city park near the river. Then they spend the rest of the day partying, barbecuing, and jumping into the river.
Listen again.
Spain has a lot of interesting traditions. One of the most chaotic ones is La Tomatina in Valencia, where people throw tomatoes at one another. Hiding a baby tooth under the pillow and waking up to find it replaced by money is tradition in many cultures, Not so in Greece. Nowadays, Greek children throw their teeth onto the roof of the house, a far cheaper option. One of the creepiest traditions comes from South Korea, where red was often used to write somebody's name when they had died. So, it is felt that by writing a person's name in red, you are condemning them to their own fate. In the US, if a person begins to experience itchy palms, then they are likely to come into money. So if somebody feels their palms itching, then they will begin to gamble in an attempt to take advantage of this expected good fortune. Forcing two animals to fight each other is considered unacceptable in many places. Not so in Turkey, where camel wrestling is a huge spectator sport. These animals seem not to cause harm to each other. Even though humans don't get involved, there is a risk that a fighting camel may spray some of their saliva into the crowd. In India, some of the most venomous snakes are carried in a basket to a temple in rural areas where they are sprinkled with red powder, milk and honey before they are released into the temple courtyard. Clearly, health and safety don't need strengthening in rural India. Finally, in Zenica, Bosnia, they mark the start of the season with a tribute to scrambled eggs. They start the day with a large breakfast of eggs cooked in a large pan in a city park near the river. Then they spend the rest of the day partying, barbecuing, and jumping into the river.
This is the end of task one. Now turn to task two. Task two. Listen to Cole talking about the importance of being different. For questions 1 to 9, choose the best answer, A, B, or C, according to his talk. Write your answers in the table provided. Question 0 is an example. You have 1 minute and 30 seconds to read the questions.
My name is Cole, and over the next few minutes, I'm going to teach you that it's okay to be different. Since a young age, I've worn different colored socks and 2 different shoes. Why? Because I am unique, a standout from the crowd. I feel best when I am being me. This summer, a funny thing happened. I was in a bookstore with my mom when I realized everyone was strangely quiet. And so, I did what needed to be done. I started singing. As a joke, my mom pointed to a book and said, "Hey Cole, this book is for you." I pulled it out and read the cover. Here's what it said: "You're weird." a creative journal for misfits, oddballs, and anyone else who's uniquely awesome. It's the best book ever! It tells everyone it's cool to be different. Today, I'm going to tell you about a friendship of mine that is a little different than you might expect. This is one of my best friends, Steven. He is the happiest person I know. Steven is 44 years old and has autism. Let me start by explaining how we became special friends. When my mom was just 13 years old, she was in the high school cafeteria about to have lunch with her friends. Then she passed a table of kids with special needs. Steven was a boy at that table. He shouted out, "Hey, what's your name? Come sit with me." My mom sat down, and in that moment, a special friendship began. Steven asked my mom three questions. He wanted to know what she was having for lunch, her phone number, and if they could be friends for 40 years. As my mom gave him her phone number and said yes, he clapped with excitement and said, "I will call you every day." Ever since that day, in 1988, he has kept his promise and called our house every single day. When I was born, Stephen was a special part of our family, and I've grown up calling him Uncle Stephen. Stephen is included in family dinners, he comes to my soccer games, he loves watching movies with us, and every couple of weeks, he has a sleepover. Stephen has had autism his whole life. Autism spectrum disorder refers to a range of conditions characterized by challenges with social skills, repetitive behaviors, speech, and nonverbal communications, as well as by unique strengths and differences. My friend Stephen is not able to drive a car, but he is able to memorize every phone number he has ever heard. There is no cure for autism, but I think Stephen is perfect the way he is. One of my favorite memories with Stephen is whenever a fire truck passes us. He shouts out, "When I grow up, I want to be a fire truck." That always makes me smile. He likes the idea of being a fireman, but he loves the idea of being a fire truck. Another thing that always makes me laugh is how much he likes to eat. Have you ever met someone who can eat a steak, 8 slices of pizza, french fries, apple pie, ice cream, and they are still starving? Well, Stephen eats all that almost every time we see him. Finally, one of my favorite memories with Stephen is when we play hide and seek. He always hides in the closets. I love playing hide and seek with Stephen. It always makes me smile. But not just me. He makes everyone smile.
Listen again.
My name is Cole, and over the next few minutes, I'm going to teach you that it's okay to be different. Since a young age, I've worn different colored socks and 2 different shoes. Why? Because I am unique, a standout from the crowd. I feel best when I am being me. This summer, a funny thing happened. I was in a bookstore with my mom when I realized everyone was strangely quiet. And so I did what needed to be done. I started singing. As a joke, my mom pointed to a book and said, "Hey Cole, this book is for you." I pulled it out and read the cover. Here's what it said. "You're weird." A creative journal for misfits, oddballs, and anyone else who's uniquely awesome. It's the best book ever! It tells everyone it's cool to be different. Today, I'm going to tell you about a friendship of mine that is a little different than you might expect. This is one of my best friends, Steven. He is the happiest person I know. Steven is 44 years old and has autism. Let me start by explaining how we became special friends. When my mom was just 13 years old, she was in the high school cafeteria about to have lunch with her friends. Then she passed a table of kids with special needs. Stephen was a boy at that table. He shouted out, "Hey, what's your name? Come sit with me." My mom sat down, and in that moment, a special friendship began. Stephen asked my mom three questions. He wanted to know what she was having for lunch, her phone number, and if they could be friends for 40 years. As my mom gave him her phone number and said yes, he clapped with excitement and said, "I will call you every day." Ever since that day, in 1988, he has kept his promise and called our house every single day. When I was born, Stephen was a special part of our family, and I've grown up calling him Uncle Stephen. Stephen is included in family dinners, he comes to my soccer games, he loves watching movies with us, and every couple of weeks he has a sleepover. Stephen has had autism his whole life. Autism spectrum disorder refers to a range of conditions characterized by challenges with social skills, repetitive behaviors, speech, and nonverbal communications, as well as by unique strengths and differences. My friend Stephen is not able to drive a car, but he is able to memorize every phone number he has ever heard. There is no cure for autism, but I think Stephen is perfect the way he is. One of my favorite memories with Stephen is whenever a fire truck passes us. He shouts out, "When I grow up, I want to be a fire truck." That always makes me smile. He likes the idea of being a fireman, but he loves the idea of being a fire truck. Another thing that always makes me laugh is how much he likes to eat. Have you ever met someone who can eat a steak, 8 slices of pizza, French fries, apple pie, ice cream, and they are still starving? Well, Stephen eats all that almost every time we see him. Finally, one of my favorite memories with Stephen is when we play hide and seek. He always hides in the closets. I love playing hide and seek with Stephen. It always makes me smile. But not just me. He makes everyone smile.
This is the end of task 2. Now turn to task 3. Task 3. Listen to an interview with environmental activist Greta Thunberg. Decide whether the sentences 1 to 10 are true or false according to the interview. Write your answers in the table provided. Sentence 0 is an example. You have 1 minute and 30 seconds to read the sentences.
Welcome to The Daily Show.
Thank you so much.
And welcome to New York City. You came here on a zero emissions boat. Part of me thinks that's because you love the climate. The other part of me wonders if that's just your Viking heritage.
Maybe it is.
It might be.
Yeah.
Tell me why you did that. Why didn't you fly to New York City to come and, you know, speak at the UN and you know, inspire people to move forward in the climate change movement?
I did it because I have, since a few years, stopped flying because of the enormous impact aviation has on the climate individually. And just to make a stand. And I am one of the very few people in the world who can actually do such a trip. So I thought, why not?
Wow. I mean, I know I wouldn't do that as a kid, and I wouldn't do it now. but what is inspiring is your determination. And what's inspiring is that it doesn't just affect other young people. It started to affect older generations in Sweden, in Germany. People are starting to call it the Greta effect, where people are taking more trains. Since you started this movement, they've said they feel ashamed to fly unnecessarily in Europe. Your mom is an opera singer, and she stopped flying, which means she couldn't perform the way she used to. Do you sometimes feel bad that she can't perform, or are you more excited that she's not part of, I guess, polluting the planet?
I don't care, honestly, about how she performs. She's doing musicals now, so, I mean, she had to change career, but it wasn't that big.
And the planet is the most important thing for you.
Yeah, I mean, for all of us, I think it should be.
Why do you think young people are so focused on climate change now? There's a definite disconnect between older generations and younger generations when talking about the climate. Why do you think that is?
I mean, I think it is because we, in a way, feel like it is more a direct threat. Others feel like, I won't be alive then anyway, so screw it. We actually know these consequences will face us during our lifetime. Mm-hmm. And it is already happening now, and it will get worse. And so I think that is why so many young people especially care about this. And of course, the awareness is not as it needs to be. It's not as much as it needs to be. People are still very unaware, is my experience. And so we need to continue. But you can see that among young people, the concern is bigger.
What do you think people need to learn about climate change? Many people have heard of the climate warming up. Some people have a small understanding of what it means. But what do you think is lacking in the understanding of this issue?
I think pretty much everything, because, I mean, we know that something is wrong, that the planet is warming because of increased greenhouse gas emissions, and that might lead to that the ice caps will melt and the global temperature will rise, and there will be more extreme weather events and so on. But they don't understand how severe this crisis actually is. And it is because they have not been informed.
What do you think people could do, and what do you think governments should be doing?
I think people should do everything, but I think right now, if I were to choose one thing everyone would do, it would be to inform yourself and to try to understand the situation and try to push for a political movement that doesn't exist, because the politics needed to fix this mm-hmm. doesn't exist today. I think what we should do as individuals is to use the power of democracy that to make our voices heard and to make sure that people in power actually cannot continue to ignore this.
That's powerful. Do you feel a difference in the conversation traveling from Sweden to America? Is there a different feeling around climate change?
I would say yes, because here it feels like it is being discussed as something whether you believe in or not believe in. And where I come from, it's more like it's a fact. And
so then I have to ask you this. You sail from Europe to New York City. New York City is quite an assault on the senses when you come from anywhere else. What is the biggest thing that has stuck out to you in New York City?
I mean, just everything. All the impressions. Everything is so much, so big, so loud. And people talk so loud here. And because when you are on that boat, when I was on that boat, there is nothing. There's just the ocean. And of course, the sound of the waves crashing, but that's it.
Mm-hmm.
No smells. apart from sweat, but...
Right.
So I remember the first thing I noticed when we came into the harbour was I woke up and suddenly it smelled something. And of course it was pollution, but it's still something. And that was indescribable to go from this extreme environment. You're disconnected from everything and everyone. You only have yourself and the ocean and the boats, of course, to New York.
That is an accurate and brilliant description of New York. It is indescribable and it smells. Yeah. I think that is fantastic.
Listen again.
Welcome to The Daily Show.
Thank you so much.
And welcome to New York City. You came here on a zero emissions boat. Part of me thinks that's because you love the climate. The other part of me wonders if that's just your Viking heritage.
Maybe it is.
It might be.
Yeah.
Tell me why you did that. Why didn't you fly to New York City to come and, you know, speak at the UN and you know, inspire people to move forward in the climate change movement?
I did it because I have, since a few years, stopped flying because of the enormous impact aviation has on the climate individually. And just to make a stand. And I am one of the very few people in the world who can actually do such a trip. So I thought, why not?
Wow. I mean, I know I wouldn't do that as a kid, and I wouldn't do it now. but what is inspiring is your determination. And what's inspiring is that it doesn't just affect other young people. It started to affect older generations in Sweden, in Germany. People are starting to call it the Greta effect, where people are taking more trains. Since you started this movement, they've said they feel ashamed to fly unnecessarily in Europe. Your mom is an opera singer, and she stopped flying, which means she couldn't perform the way she used to. Do you sometimes feel bad that she can't perform, or are you more excited that she's not part of, I guess, polluting the planet?
I don't care, honestly, about how she performs. She's doing musicals now, so, I mean, she had to change career, but it wasn't that big.
And the planet is the most important thing for you.
Yeah, I mean, for all of us, I think it should be.
Why do you think young people are so focused on climate change now? There's a definite disconnect between older generations and younger generations when talking about the climate. Why do you think that is?
I mean, I think it is because we, in a way, feel like it is more a direct threat. Others feel like, I won't be alive then anyway, so screw it. We actually know these consequences will face us during our lifetime. Mm-hmm. And it is already happening now, and it will get worse. And so I think that is why so many young people especially care about this. And of course, the awareness is not as it needs to be. It's not as much as it needs to be. People are still very unaware, is my experience. And so we need to continue. But you can see that among young people, the concern is bigger.
What do you think people need to learn about climate change? Many people have heard of the climate warming up. Some people have a small understanding of what it means. But what do you think is lacking in the understanding of this issue?
I think pretty much everything. Because, I mean, we know that something is wrong, that the planet is warming because of increased greenhouse gas emissions, and that might lead to that the ice caps will melt and the global temperature will rise, and there will be more extreme weather events and so on. But they don't understand how severe this crisis actually is. And it is because they have not been informed.
What do you think people could do, and what do you think governments should be doing?
I think people should do everything, but I think right now, if I were to choose one thing everyone would do, it would be to inform yourself and to try to understand the situation and try to push for a political movement that doesn't exist, because the politics needed to fix this, mm-hmm, doesn't exist today. I think what we should do as individuals is to use the power of democracy that to make our voices heard and to make sure that people in power actually cannot continue to ignore this.
That's powerful. Do you feel a difference in the conversation traveling from Sweden to America? Is there a different feeling around climate change?
I would say yes, because here it feels like it is being discussed as something you, whether you believe in or not believe in. And where I come from, it's more like it's a fact. And
so then I have to ask you this. You sail from Europe to New York City. New York City is quite an assault on the senses when you come from anywhere else. What is the biggest thing that has stuck out to you in New York City?
I mean, just everything. All the impressions. Everything is so much, so big, so loud. And people talk so loud here. And because when you're on that boat, when I was on that boat, there is nothing. There's just the ocean and, of course, the sound of the waves crashing, but that's it. Mm-hmm. No smells. apart from sweat, but...
Right.
So I remember the first thing I noticed when we came into the harbor was I woke up and suddenly it smelled something. And, of course, it was pollution, but it's still something, and that was indescribable to go from this extreme environment. You're disconnected from everything and everyone. You only have yourself and the ocean and the boat, of course, to New York.
That is an accurate and brilliant description of New York. It is indescribable and it smells. I think that is fantastic.
This is the end of task 3 and the end of the listening test.